episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drug fucked tonight. Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Now recording. You're listening to Rick and Roro on the 5th of July, 2025. And we've got episode number 37 being done right now of Rick and Roro. July the 5th. How wonderful. No, it's, yeah, the Saturday, the 5th of July. Rollo, how are you?
Good, mate.
You dropped a bit off your microphone, you were saying.
Yeah, I lost my little spongy bit. I took it to the pub the other night and I got absolutely wasted. And
at the pub?
I got.
I thought you weren't allowed in any of the pubs.
No, this is where I live now. So I left. When I was asked to leave, I didn't push it or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were just playing pool, and these guys were really good, and it was a lot of fun. And then two blokes got into a fist fight, and it was all a bit of it.
What is it about Newcastle pubs? What is it? Can someone explain to me? And back in the day, they're all full of fist fights and broken noses, and it was a bit more.
I think I'm over exaggerating. It was a bit more push and shove, raise voice.
Contretemps.
Yeah. But there you go. So yeah, that's my new suburb, Cardiff, where I live now, and.
So you're not in Wall's End anymore?
Oh, we're still in the process of moving, but I'll be out of here in like 2 or 3 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks? Jeez, you're a slow mover, Roller.
I've been a hoarder in the past, and I just don't want to take the crap that I don't need.
Tell me, what did you do with like things like your lawnmower and your whippersnipper?
Yeah, still got it.
You'll need that and things like that. But
yeah, we can get it. I'll take it in and get it going again. So I never did it. Yeah, I always got my neighbours. Neighbour used to do it for me.
Good old Wazza. I wonder how do you reckon they've stopped celebrating it after you finally sold and moved out of the street?
Oh, who knows? Chrissy said they're probably glad to see the back of me, but.
Not so much the sound of you. More the sound of you.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it quiet now that I'm in the new place. I don't want to fuck up there. No, but I tell you, I'll tell you, there is.
Don't drink vodka. Don't drink vodka on the balcony.
You got it. Yeah, they're.
Tonight or today in Birmingham,
there's a big concert.
Massive concert. I think I might actually pay the money and watch it tomorrow because I've got nothing else better to do in my life.
So it's are you streaming on what?
I think you've got to go to, my son looked it up for me yesterday. It's called something about, you know, whatever the name of the you know, Last Farewell or whatever, Black Sabbath. And it's, the lineup though is pretty phenomenal if you're into metal. You know, okay. If you're into Metallica and Slayer and et cetera, et cetera. And that guy, who is a good guitarist, I do enjoy his stuff, from Rage Against, I say For the Machine, Rage For the Machine, Tom Morello, he's a musical director. So he's somehow, he's directing the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know how well Ozzy's going to stand up to, you know, because he's not well. But hopefully he'll be able to get up and...
What's wrong with
it? He's got... Parkinson's and all those type of things.
Oh yeah,
I
thought his voice was still no. chipper.
Oh yeah, well he keeps doing guest roles. I kept hearing him, you know, up till not that long ago, he'd turn up and do a guest vocal on someone's song, and it sounded fantastic. But he is, you know, 70 something or other, so you know it's only to be expected. But you got, you know, and carrying on like he did. I mean, he was definitely drinking a lot and doing a lot of various drugs. He did.
All right, I've got the lineup here. So the acts include Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Slayer, Tool, Pantera, Garija, Alice in Chains, and
Alice in Chains. They're all dead, aren't they? But well, they must have
a Billy Corgan, Jonathan Davies. So these are all on their own. Tom Morello, Sammy Hagar, Lizzie Hale. Wow, it sounds like it's going to be
Sammy Hagar is still, you know, that guy's a super, you know, I think the guy was around and...
Yeah, he took over from David Lee Roth.
But he did, but, I mean, before that, he was in all these bands in the 60s, 70s, and he's got a great voice, and he's a boxer.
Well, he's sounds exactly like David Lee Roth. When David Lee Roth went on his solo career, and he took over.
Way better singer than David Lee Roth.
Really? I couldn't tell the difference. But
vocal-wise, oh, yeah. Sammy Hagar. But, yeah, no, but it'll be interesting for the last hurrah. Is it going to be their last farewell? I mean, the only reason they're saying it is because I think Ozzy is absolutely fucked. And Bill Ward, the drummer's come back, and he's got that nose like Carl Malden, or WC Fields, you know, when you drink a lot of gin and you get a huge nose.
Yeah, like mine.
Not yet. You can get that way.
Getting there.
Hit the gin.
Getting there.
He's got really
gin does it to you, does it?
They call it gin blossom. Yeah. But I think it's going to be really good. And it'll be, you know, because I've been a Black Sabbath fan since the 70s when I first heard it. You know, and that, you know, Sweet Leaf, that would be the first song I ever heard from them. And do 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 do, you know, that heavy bassy, just a completely different sound. You know, they were doom rock, the first of the doom rockers, stoner doom rock, I would call it.
Where to watch Ozzy's Farewell in Australia? So he gets the money directly. Yeah, it must
You've got to go to the website, and the website is called, what's the name of the concert?
So it says, it's Ozzy and Black Sabbath's Farewell Concerts back.
The what it's called, well, no, it's got a name, and it's got a .com behind it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll say, and you know, Mrs. Ozzy Osbourne, you know, Ozempic swallowing.
She looks terrible.
She'll be rubbing her little claws together, her talons together, to get the money that they're going to make out of this, if it's a pay-per-view. Because, you know, I'm telling you, everyone that...
Right. Yeah, it's called backtothebeginning.com.
Backtothebeginning.com.
Yeah. So it's only going for 48 hours. So it's one of those, what's that, FOMOs? Fear of missing out. You'll get it. But, you know, if you want to,
speaking of huge concerts backing, and then I can't understand the furore for this one, but Oasis did their big one yesterday. And it sounded okay, and it looked okay.
It was like...
apart from Wonderwall, name an Oasis song apart from Wonderwall.
Exactly. I'm not a fan. Neither am I,
but it's just one of those bands. You say Oasis, Wonderwall. Nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing Wonderwall. Else. Apart from him being a total cunt to Michael Hutchins just before he suicided.
What a cunt.
He did some really nasty shit on stage. They're saying they're a bunch of losers and has-beens.
Calling them has-beens. And
yeah. You know, what a gun.
I can remember, but the same thing happened when the Sex Pistols came out in 1977.
Mm.
And they were interviewed and they were going, you know, Led Zeppelin, they're all has-beens. And this is when Led Zeppelin, this is 4 years after they'd formed, sorry, 7 years after they'd formed, and they're only in their 20s, they were getting called has-beens and dinosaurs. And now, by John Lydon and Steve Jones and stuff like that, and all these other punk rockers. I understand what they were going on about, because rock did go up its own ass big time in the 70s with Yes and 30-minute drum solos and organ solos and things like that.
Rock and roll's out survived punk by a long shot.
Absolutely.
Well, punk's still going. I mean, you'd call Amyl and Sniffers a punk. Yep. Punk, that's definitely punk rock.
100%. Yep. And it's three chords, but I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I'd rather hear those three chords and some anger and some in a small room in a small band than Yes or.
Well, it's just hilarious. They're punk and they're fronting the ultimate rock and roll band in AC/DC.
To be honest, AC/DC, even though they hated the title, and Bon Scott got really angry about, you know, being called punk, because he said these guys can't play a note, they're hopeless. You know, cause they're a pure rock and roll band. AC/DC are a rock and roll. Everything about rock and roll. But
that's why they kicked out their first singer was George Young, I think it was. And he was more in. Have you seen that first? Can I see? No. It's very glam.
No, it wasn't. Mark Evans was the bassist.
Mark Evans. Yeah, I thought it was George Young.
The George Young is their older brother, their oldest brother.
Yeah,
and he was their manager. He is the reason that AC/DC made all their money.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say this as a conspiracy theorist. Even though they're working class knockabout guys, the fact that four brothers Young, they all came from Scotland, one didn't even bother coming to Australia, but each one of them became superstars. And the oldest brother formed a band called Grapefruit. And guess who was his manager and writing songs for them? It was John Lennon, no less.
Oh.
And then George went over to England and they became massive with the Easy Beats, right? And they got all their money. They were ripped off like every other band, thanks to
Sharon. You're right.
Sharon,
you're right.
Sharon
it was
Osbourne.
David's. Yeah. Sharon and they got, Osbourne's and then they father. Got the what's he from the Valentines?
Bon Scott. Bon Scott from Valentine's. Yeah.
Yeah. Dave Evans. He was the glamour one.
Dave Evans. Yeah.
Could I stick to you, girl, it was so glam. When Bond sung it, that was rock and roll. Lick your ear. It was a great song.
But Bond became like possessed, just like Angus is kind of possessed by some kind of onstage demon. Because before he was the Valentines, it was, and the other band, he had another band before the Valentines, and they were like flute playing hippies. But Bond,
A bit like what was one of my father's favorite bands back in the day, and it'll come to mind. But yeah, you know that late 60s, like early
Jethro Tull,
or early Pink Floyd or something.
Jethro Tull, which is still fantastic music. I still love Jethro Tull, but yeah, no, it's going to be a very
Mummers and the Puppers.
great band, but totally all managed, stage managed, and written all their songs written for them, and a proper talented band though, the Mummers and the Puppers. So that.
Yeah,
but that was that Weird Scenes Underneath the Canyon book by that guy that died mysteriously young, that talks about the Mummers and the Puppers and the Birds and all those bands. But no, the AC/DC. I mean, this concert tonight. Tonight in Birmingham.
That's where he started, didn't he? I mean, he's a Brummie, isn't he?
But the whole
is that what you call a Brummie?
Brummie, yep.
Weren't the Beatles? Were the Beatles? No, they were Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Yeah, there's a difference, isn't there? Yeah.
A huge difference. Yeah, mainly Irish and Liverpool. And the Birmingham, though, was an industrial town that was, Birmingham, it was British Steel, basically. And that's one of the best albums by Judas Priest. Hands down, one of the greatest heavy rock, proper metal albums ever is British Steel by Judas Priest. And they're from Birmingham as well. And so the drummer.
They were American. That just shows you what I know. Right?
Yeah. No.
Well, I was a kid.
Judas Priest. Have you ever heard
Royal Halford? Because they were so flashy, they looked American. You know, when you saw that flash.
Have you ever heard Rob Halford speak? And same with every single member of Led Zeppelin. Oh, sorry, the drummer of Led Zeppelin, who's dead now.
Yeah.
He retained that. All these guys, even though they're massive rock stars and they got
That was John Bonham, wasn't it?
John Bonham, yeah. Well, he's from Birmingham as well. And they
is there a huge stadium in Birmingham? Is there like a massive stadium?
They're building one. They'll probably name it the Black Sabbath Stadium. I mean, because Black Sabbath changed society.
Where are they playing in Birmingham then? Like, or are they playing at Wembley?
It'll be the same place they had the Commonwealth Games last year.
Oh, okay. So how many they could fit in there, like 100,000 or something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Guaranteed.
Yeah, Commonwealth. Yeah. Oh, that's all right.
And Birmingham.
Well, let's hope old mate, the musical director from Rage Against the Machine, I reckon he'd be sweating a few. Hope everything goes all right.
I don't think so, because everyone's so professional now, and none of them are doing the drugs. None of them are doing the drugs that they use. There's not, I guarantee you now, there may be a bit of coke goes backstage, but they're all getting old.
All the sound engineers behind the scenes will have run the tests on the whole PA, like, days in advance. So, yeah. So it's going for 48 hours, the whole thing. Is that what it's doing? The whole
they'll be having, I would imagine if you're on that site, they'll be having the preliminary stuff. Yeah. And then it'll start probably in a few hours' time. Yeah. It'll be whatever. And I'd say Metallica would be the next, before Black Sabbath goes on, it would have to be Metallica. That would be the biggest band on the planet. And they actually are touring and they're here.
And then Ozzy on his own to finish it out? Is that what
a lot of people said, and people in the know said, that there's no way that guy's going to be singing because he's so sick at the moment. But I would say he didn't look that bad.
Ozzy's not even singing in this thing.
I don't know. A lot of people said.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how much did you say it was again?
Would I pay more than $15? It's going to be at least $15.
I don't know.
Rollo, being as
honest, I can wait. Rick and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Rollo okay, yeah, and Rick. Sorry, Rollo yep. and Rick on
yeah, I like
the
that.
5th of on the 5th of July, 2025. And we're
remember we did that, Rollo and Rick. Rollo and Bellastet put question Rick mark. And Jolo. What the fuck's going on? Why are we Jay's daughter? We were just having a laugh that night. No, Rick and Rollo, it does ring off the tongue. Just before we go to RFPs, I was going to mention something before about my new place. You know how you have a lovely passion fruit plant? You ought to see the one. I should have got Christy to take a picture. I will get her to take a picture of it tomorrow. It is, it's sprawled over their back veranda and it's so heaving with fruit.
Fantastic.
And it's like the fruits are all up onto the roof of my neighbor. You won't believe it. I should have got Christy to take a photo of it, and I'll put it on Rollo's balcony tomorrow. You'll love it. And I said, when I speak to the neighbor, because it's not easy to get up there to get that fruit, I reckon you would go up there.
Yes, I would.
Get the fruit off. For your own, and sell it. For your, what do you call it? My commission. Yeah, it looks great.
My passion fruit, my former partner bought me, she got it from one of her clients, a little tiny, little weedy looking passion fruit and a little, little tiny vine sitting in a little tiny pot, right? And she went out and onto our on the side, the right side of the house, dug a hole, fertilized it, obviously, and left it there. Within a year, that thing had gone up and down all the sides of all the different thing, and it was dropping these massive hand like a grenade size passion fruit. Even my father, who is a green fingered genius, he said, I've never tasted passion fruit this good. And it's because I guess I'm on a sloping block and there's lots of water runs past it and it still stays not saturated. Obviously, where you live is passion fruit country.
Well, you said that the vines only last, what, 7 years? 10 years?
Seven, apparently, right?
Seven,
Mine's now 10 years, seven, 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I swear,
you wait till you say, oh, will you see this? I won't get it to take video. Just a photo will show just how awesome it is. So big, when I talk to my neighbor, if I get some, you're more than welcome to them. I like them on ice cream. On ice cream. It's just perfect.
Passion fruit, a beautiful fruit, but the ones that I've had, I give them to people as presents because I've got so many of them or had. And some of my clients, I leave them there, and they always go, "Where did you get them? These are the greatest passion fruits I've ever, ever seen or tasted in my life." And I said, "They're from my house. I don't know why. I don't know how, but they're still producing fruit."
All right. Before we get onto the RIPs, before we get onto that, do you want to discuss why your day was so shitty when we first spoke? Off air.
No, not particularly, but it's been one of those days.
Just one of those days. Well, hopefully we can cheer you up with, we've had a couple of we'll do the Australian first. Julian McMahon, I've met him.
Yes.
Years ago, we lost him. Home and Away. He's just recently been in that movie, with Nick Cage called,
Yes, he was too. About the surfer.
I've read the reviews of it. It doesn't paint Australians in a good light. I hear.
No, but apparently it's a really good movie.
Yeah. Filmed somewhere remotely in WA or something, isn't it?
So Nick Cage plays a guy. He's from America that comes over and wants to surf on this beach, and the locals are all. And I'm telling you, if anyone. No,
they're not
surfing.
Nice, are they?
No, not nice. Mm. And even where I grew up in New Zealand, if you were the locals called you a tourist, and it was not a compliment. If you were a tourist, you were not. They did not like you. They didn't want you to come and taking over their waves every Christmas. because I was from a holiday area, like I am now still. Mm. And the locals were angry about tourists, and they used to have all these names about like highway searches.
Yeah, I don't know if Julie McMahon plays one of these. He plays the head of them.
This morning, Verilicious shared that fairly sad news because Julian was only 56.
And I met him. I thought he was gay, but he's married. He's married Danny Minogue, and
he's not gay. His father.
He's not sorry. Gay, but I met him. I met him with a friend of mine, Scotty, years ago in a gay club. In a gay club.
Which one?
Fucking taxi bar or whatever it is there at
Oxford Street.
And you know, this is when he was in his. Oh, he was in his like because he's only a year older than me, so he would have been 19, 20.
Julian started on Home and Away, but he's from an elite family. Now, as a conspiracy theorist, if you want to see some high grade gossip about conspiracy theory on the truthmeets.com Discord, Verilicious shared that, and I went straight into all the stuff I've heard on Julian McMahon. I've been going on about him for a long time. I suggested that him, you know, because his real father is Billy Snedden.
Oh, yeah.
Not the other
famous Polly.
The McMahon guy was raving homosexual, apparently. And so Lady Sonia, that was what you call, if anyone's in the conspiracy world listening to this, a dolly. And if you want to look at examples of dollies out there, look at the Paris Hilton and Nicky Hilton are dollies. Particularly Nicky Hilton, who's giving birth to all the Rothschilds' progenies right there.
So you're saying his father wasn't Sir William McMahon, who was Prime Minister of Australia from 1971 to 1972.
Have a look at Billy McMahon's hairline. He's got none. And then have a look at Billy Snedden.
Oh, Julian Billy Snedden.
Snedden. He passed away. And all the rumors, back in when I was in the conspiracy theories and loved gossip back in the old days, I was on building sites where I got my best gossip, guaranteed. You'd be in smoko sheds and there'd be just a whole lot of interesting people having lunch and something would be mentioned. And there was a common thing that everyone seemed to know about over here. It was that Lady Sonia was sleeping with another former Prime Minister of Australia, and he'd actually collapsed and had a heart attack and died at age 60 while in the same room on top of her, or as I suggested, underneath her, whichever way she liked it. And Julian never looked a thing like, there's no way that he's a McMahon. He's actually from another side. Snedden. Billy Snedden.
Yeah.
Look up. And so I shared,
you know, the open secret that, you know, the redheaded son of Charles.
The same exact thing, Rollo.
Rugby league or rugby union player. Yeah. Yeah.
The tank commander bodyguard of,
Anyway,
but that was an accident, I would say. I think the gingerhead was an accident.
Julian, now it doesn't say he got turbo cancer or how long. Because we looked it up, so we don't know if he got the jab or not. So we can't.
He's from an elite family. I doubt if he took a jab.
Yeah,
his real birth father, this is by conspiracy theory and rumor, died at 60 as well. So Julian was 4 years off 60. So it could have been the same genetic thing.
We typed in Julian McMahon last photo, and it just happened to be promoting that surfer movie.
Yeah,
he did not look that ill, and he had still had a full head of hair. So I doubt he was getting well, you always lose your hair, don't you, when you the chemo and that.
He, chemo, so he yeah, just absolutely.
Looked, he just looked a little thin, that's all. It's just...
Well, my conspiracy theory, and it was on fakeologist.com that I went on about this, I suggested that Julian McMahon had the same background story as Justin Trudeau, and they actually looked very similar when they're younger. If you ever look
at if I
said Julian McMahon was the brother or from a cousin of Justin Trudeau, you'd say yeah, he's very similar. I actually found some really eerily accurate photos, and I put them onto this is back in one of the other, you know, because Fakeologist Discord's been terminated so many times since I did this. But I suggest that because Lady Sonia and Margaret Trudeau are the same type of dolly, and they're very, I wouldn't say particularly good looking, but they're from a great stock. They're from breeding stock. Like
They put it about
to breed future leaders. Now, Julian McMahon to me was a classic example of, he could have been a great politician because he had the looks. He could have been a future Prime Minister of Australia. Like Justin Trudeau allegedly was castrated.
I look at Julian McMahon and I see that who's that guy from the other really good-looking Australian actor, the superhero with the knives on his hands.
Yeah, exactly. There's another funny background
What's
story
his name?
Of him as well.
Hugh Jackman. Jackman. Yeah, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, exactly.
Those two together and that you go, wow.
Exactly. I've been on about this for a long time.
Like, I looked at the backstory of Leonardo DiCaprio, and I said, because, you know, I remember him coming over here to Australia to do audition with Baz Luhrmann for the role of... Romeo and Juliet. And then I looked at him and I thought, you know, if you look up Lenin, the Russian leader of, you know, the communism, yeah. Lenin, have a look at the side profile of Lenin when he was younger, and even when he was in his prime, and the same kind of face and hair, exact same forehead and everything is Leonardo DiCaprio. And so I'm telling you, most of your film stars have got an option to either be, they're either a film star or a politician or a musician. You got three different options if you're part of this elite thing to create society change. Because they all look the same. Look at Brad Pitt and have a look at, what's his name?
Robert Redford. Yeah,
exactly.
I swear.
Same.
If you wanted to play Robert Redford as a son, you'd cast Brad Pitt.
Yeah, you 100%.
Could easily
and
do
William
it.
And even William Catt, who was the greatest American hero TV show, there's another one that he actually played, and that they did a prequel to Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. I forget what it was called, but they had William Catt and Tom Berenger or someone else playing, I think it might have been Tom Berenger. These guys, most actors, politicians, musicians, all seem to look the same and be cousins of each other. And there's no doubt about that. Madonna is a first cousin to Brad Pitt. Brooke Shields is a Italian, like black nobility, blue blood bloodline.
Yeah.
And they all became famous. And
look at us. We've got fuck all. You know, we're a root behind the pub. That's what we are. nothing classy about us. You know, a root in the stall in the pub.
Yeah,
you know,
in
a toilet stall.
Yeah.
How did you get pregnant? My mother was fucking my father in a toilet. Oh, that's Felicet. Hey, buddy. G'day, buddy. How you doing?
Good evening, guys. Man, you're both sounding good tonight.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
If you say that, then that's good.
Yeah. Thank
well,
you.
After
for
after that echo that last time, it's good. Fun. It's good that we haven't got any issues.
Hey, was,
yeah, last week's show was good. Rick, keep your eye out in the mail. There's a thing on its way to you. I don't know about you, Rollo. Did you donate, Rollo?
Rollo, I'm going to have to drive down to Newcastle and take you to the bank.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Then I'm sorry to have to do this. Then
hit a half Nelson. What's he doing?
It sounds like an advert. A Bunnings
in the market for a cheap tool. Come here, truthmeats.com. We've got plenty of cheap tools. Take Rollo. Comes here every Saturday night, gets a massive windfall, doesn't donate to his favourite platform.
Did you ask for last week? I promised you.
What a cheap tool.
Hey, Joel.
Truthmeats.com. Get a cheap tool. Rollo, $0 down.
I was promised a yellow Celica.
Hey, where's the hang-up button? I'm gonna John Le Bon your ass and hang up on you. No, I'm not. No, I had a mini stroke. My bloody left eye's popped. I've hung up.
That's not a mini stroke.
I should have kept quiet then.
Have you lifted anything heavy?
Actually, while we talk about the next RIP, I'd like Velo, could you play Stuck in the Middle, you and on a low bed, Stuck in the Middle? Could you do that for us?
Just let me find it.
And we'll talk about the next Rest in Peace. Michael Madsen is such a legend to me because it's like that where he's in Mr. Blonde.
Okay.
Can you name all the colors?
Yellow, blonde. I'll say, here we go.
There was no Mr. Yellow because Mr. Yellow, here we go. So this is a big rest in peace for Michael Madsen. Where, do you remember the scene?
Yes, fantastic. Cut the guy's ear off.
Yeah. And he talks into the ear. He goes, well, I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. Oh.
He was, how old was he, Roller?
About 66. Not old, much older than
that. That is not, so Julian McMahon was 56 and he's 66.
Now, apparently, this is one of the, what we talk about is he went to sleep one night and just didn't wake up. So I looked up whether he was wearing his caps or not.
That's completely normal these days, Roland.
As a 66-year-old, he's never had heart problems before. He's perfectly healthy.
Was he vaccinated? I would say.
That was what I looked up, and I couldn't find out whether or yes or no.
What a great movie, though. That was Tarantino's
Reservoir Dog.
Reservoir Dog. One of his first movies that actually, and I remember watching it, and I just loved, you know what made that movie? The soundtrack. The soundtrack was absolutely class A. Little Green Bag by George Baker selection.
That's how it opened.
Hey, Billy, super sounds of the sound.
Stephen,
what's his name, the comedian doing it?
Stephen Wright. Right?
Stephen Wright, yep.
Correct. That was a great movie. It's right.
But you do it better. Welcome back to Billy Super Sounds.
Billy King Sounds of the 70s. Yeah. I did it actually because there was a guy on Fakeologist that sounded identical to Steve.
I remember when that guy was on and Rollo, I think, played that at the same time. It was so funny.
Yeah. That was just a coincidence. Jolo, have you got a bit of a nasal cold? Because can I just say this? I went to an office last night that I've been visiting for 23 years at least, maybe more, 24 years. And the guy said to one of the guys there that I've been speaking to for 24 years. And he said, man, everyone here's sick. Everyone's got, and I said, what, everyone? And he said, there's like 20 people work there and they've all got the same. And I was talking to one other guy there. You're listening to
Rick and Rollo 37 with Velo.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation
or your affiliation.
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
It was
no, all you Gary said is everyone. Everyone what?
It was Gary. No. Gary Oldman. Don't worry,
Gary Oldman from the
Rick and Rollo 37. Saturday the 5th of July, 2025. No, anyway,
25. Can we just keep talking about this mysterious new
absolutely
nasal
new cold
condition?
I don't get. I usually mentally like think myself out of being sick. I'm not a sick person because I don't really believe in it that much, but. It'd be right when I've got my days off, then it gets wasted on feeling under the weather, you know.
Yeah, I can hear it. You are very nasally,
I listened to about 5 people yesterday that all told me the same thing, that every single person, to have 20 people in an office and they're all sick at the same time is not normal, as far as I'm concerned. That is not normal. And how many were vaccinated? About 50 to 90, sorry, 90% of them would have been. But I don't think that's the problem. I'm telling you, they are spraying fucking shit over the top of Sydney like you would not believe. And it's, I can watch it dripping out of the sky. Like when I used to see rain, I used to say to the kids, look over there, kids, that's rain, when you can see a grey kind of mist coming downwards on a cloud. I was watching white versions of the same thing yesterday. There's something going, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist here, but I'm going to say this, something's being sprayed over the top of your heads. And it's creating mass nasal problems, coughing, but mainly not fatal. When I say fatal, I mean not the end of the world flu, but quite a bad nasal issue. And it seems to be everywhere. And that was, you're right, Rollo, that was from... that was a very funny scene. One of my favourite movies, the professional, Leon the Professional.
Yeah, well, and, apparently this is what I read. Gary Oldman did a bit of a talk sesh with about it. There were a certain amount of takes, and the one that wasn't scripted.
Everybody
was good.
He says everybody. Body, not every week.
No, or he just says under his breath, all right, okay, so body. This has got out of hand. He was supposed to say something like this, very sort of, all right, we just got to get everyone or everybody. Yeah, everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah, but then he said, can I do, and then he tells your sound people to bring it down to half. And then they go, what are you going to do? And then they go, he says he saw stars afterwards, the way he did it.
There's no way he wasn't off his head on coke or taking a lot of drugs in that role. You cannot look like that. Look at his eyes. Look at his face.
Oh.
He was definitely, using... I reckon a form of Xanax when he did that. He was cracking his drugs.
The scene where he comes through that bead curtain with his hands, yep, and he talks about Mozart and in that drugged out way.
Apparently, he doesn't
talk about Ludwig van. He talks about Ludwig van Beethoven in another take, and then Mozart, and then at another classical, and they just. They went, well, which one are we going to use? Because the guy obviously liked his classical music. He thought, all right, I'll do it this way. So they ended up just using Mozart for some reason.
He, in that role, for me, nailed Psycho. Because I actually hung out.
It was one of my wife's favorite movies. I swear, when we watched that at the theater, it was so good. Super widescreen, that opening shot with Eric Sierra's music. Over that, what's that park called? Over New York City, Central Park. Oh yeah, it's the best movie. A lot of people get freaked out about it because you say, yeah.
The funny thing is, Roller, I loved it when I first saw it, but this is the interesting thing: when you become a parent.
Yeah, it's a bit creepy. It can get a little bit creepy.
I actually played, watched, because I said to my youngest son, mm-hmm. the one that's doing film and all that. And he just got, sure. I have to say this, two high distinctions, one for philosophy
good.
And one for something else. He got high distinctions. He's doing really well at uni, really well. He's here.
How's he doing at cinematography and, photography?
Well, he's having a chat.
Directing. Like, most importantly, how's he going to direct you as the main star of Galaxy Quest?
Well, he's already directed me in the movie that got him the scholarship. So the drone crazy drone conspiracy theorist. Actually sat there and I watched the movie with him, and I was watching it, and he was going, "This is a bit." He goes, "Dad, this is really a bit creepy, isn't it?" And I went, actually, it is really creepy. And it was kind of focusing on
totally innocent.
You know, Matilda and her knickers, and she was about 12, I guess. The what's her name? Yeah.
Natalie Portman.
About 12 years of 13 years of age, wearing
knickers. She was so funny. She told the director Luc Besson, "I can cry on cue." And she showed him I don't want to say casting couch because that sounds so awful. You're being cast. Not with a 12-year-old. She could do it. And apparently the scene where she knocks on Leon's door because they're all in their apartment and the guy standing outside is looking at her and he doesn't know what to do, whether to open the door. And she's supposed to be crying down to the point of view of what Leon's looking down, you know, that eye hole thing in your door. She couldn't do it. So he got something called some mint, horrible mint spray. I don't know what it, you'll have to look it up.
To make you cry.
He swears. And apparently it makes you cry. And it worked. And she said it was so horrible. She said it was so horrible. She from then she cried on cue.
Only a French film director like Luc Besson, who you know, like, to be honest, you got to say the guy's talented. You know, have you seen The Fifth Element? I mean, there's some good stuff in that.
Yeah, that's a great movie. But all I would do is spray lemon juice in your eye.
What the politicians do. Do what the politicians do and just rub some onion under your, you know, and you watch
onion,
them.
Onion, yeah. Exactly.
How many times
you cut a strong onion to make a spaghetti?
A professional crisis actor.
Yeah.
That you see them rubbing their eyes and you know.
Yeah, get a really strong onion and rub it on your cheeks just before you say action. Yeah. And you've got tears. Did you ever see that movie Cry Baby where his with Johnny Depp and his actual superpower was he could cry a single tear on cue? Oh, it's a great movie. If you ever want to,
what's it called?
Cry Baby. And it had actually a real porn star in it. One of the big 80s porn.
Was it Ginger Lynn?
It wasn't Ginger Lynn or wasn't Ginger Rogers. No, Ginger Rogers, what am I talking about? Ginger Rogers, when she was here, porn star.
A real porn star.
Ginger
Lynn was the famous porn star.
No, this one was, I'll have to look it up. But, yeah, anyway, we're getting all distracted. What else is there to talk about in the news?
Well, anyway, going back, though, to
anything?
The RIP, the Michael Madsen.
Sure.
There's also a bit of Mandela effect. And I hate to say this, but I thought he died about 5 years ago and he died quite young in his 30s. And I looked online and Mark, what's his name? Devlin. He said, I seem to remember him dying years before. And I think, and I actually commented and I said, because I remember a report of his demise 5 years ago. So this could be another one of these weird things. And I mean, what movies has he done recently? Has Michael Madsen done anything recent?
I'm just looking out. It's just funny you should say that. So here we go. Let's go through his filmography. Should be here. Here we go. Got it here. All right. So recently, well, I dare say, I can't remember seeing him in years. So
I can't,
you know,
either.
The Thingo Reservoir Dogs was 1992, which was was Tarantino's first, wasn't it?
So his second. So no, he did that Natural Born Killers as a producer, as a writer, but he didn't direct it. But then
let's go back to around 1992 then, because that really would have put him on the map. That scene. That would have put anyone on the map. That it was such a.
But he stole. Listen, Rollo.
He wanted to play Mr. He wanted to play. Oh, you know the guy with the dodgy teeth.
The Italian.
The American actor with the dodgiest teeth. There's all right. Yeah,
he's Italian now, isn't he?
He didn't want to be called Mr. Pink. He goes, be lucky you weren't called Mr. Pink. He goes, oh, that's right, it's Mr. Pink. He goes, lucky you're not being called Mr. Yellow. Mr. Pink was played by Steve Buscemi, his name
was. Steve Buscemi, that's what I said, Italian.
Yeah. Well, that's Mr. Pink is the part that they wanted Michael Madsen wanted. But then they kind of were offering him the other one, which I have to re-look it up. But, you know, it's funny, you know, you always the one that you want, but the one that you're perfect for, you can't see them in any other role.
Did you watch From Dusk Till Dawn with...
Love that movie. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like two movies. There's the first movie is a sort of a usual Tarantino type film, and then it just turns into a horror movie.
Mental horror vampire movie.
Yes,
which was
crazy
good. Really good. And it had, you know, George Clooney played the brother of, and a psycho brother was played by Tarantino.
Uncomfortable. And it had that
Julius Lewis.
Yes. She was always in good stuff back then. I don't know whatever happened. Yeah, she's
become a singer. She's been hanging out with some of the dodgiest, and she's actually like a great vocalist. She's got a rock band, I think.
Brad Pitt was asked who his biggest love in his life was. It was Juliette Lewis, and they never got married. Ooh. You think that they'd get married? I've got a picture of Juliette Lewis walking a dog, scratching a pussy. It's the funniest. Do you want to see the funniest picture of Juliette Lewis in the whole world? I'll put it on Rollo's balcony now. And she's walking her dog. And she's having a big scratch. And she doesn't know she's being photographed. It is the funniest thing, I think. I laughed so hard the first time I saw it. Let's go through some Michael Madsen. So after Reservoir Dogs, he was in... Now, any of these... He was in Free Willy.
I've heard of that.
Father. It's about... Was he?
It was freeing the killer whale whatever it was.
The killer whale, that's right. And before that, he was in Thelma Louise. Brad Pitt was the shitbag. I can't remember Michael Madsen was the husband of either Thelma.
Or Louise.
Louise, I can't remember. So long
One
ago.
Or two.
He was good in The Doors before that. The Doors. So he's in some big movies.
Yeah, no, he's a famous actor. But I'm telling you, I remember reading that he died years ago.
Yeah, so the Mandela thing.
When I saw that he died, and I thought again, I thought he was already dead. So a few other people I noticed on Facebook said the same thing, and I'm talking about. Fairly big conspiracy theorist shows. I believe it too, because I remember I thought he was already dead. Now, as this.
Here we go. Here's an interesting story. Here's an interesting story about Michael Madsen. He'd already signed up to be in that Wyatt Earp film. Now,
Dolly Horn's boy, Kurt Russell.
Yeah, Kurt Russell, yeah. So apparently. Tarantino really wanted him as Vincent Vega, which was John Travolta's in Pulp Fiction, and he said he was glad he wasn't given the role, and he already agreed to do Wyatt Earp, and that John Travolta got the role because it brought John Travolta's career back to life. And he was glad he didn't get in the road of that because he was a huge fan of John Travolta. And ever since Pulp Fiction,
it all ties in with Tarantino every time. Everyone's 1 degree off Tarantino. have you seen, now I shared it onto the Rick and Rollo, onto your balcony, the new documentaries that Tarantino's doing about 70s movies and his Dirty Harry doco that he's done. It's absolutely seamless.
I haven't got to it yet.
Do yourself a favor. It is fantastic. Because it shows you all the influences and all the people that should have been, you know, because they wanted Frank Sinatra to play Dirty Harry. And
Clint was fifth in line.
Fifth, big time.
He was, you know, there's some actors that get presses. I'm not taking sloppy seconds. Well, he was sloppy fifth.
Sloppy fifth.
And he did a great job.
Yeah. He walked in, and that movie, and you got to watch it, though. It's Tarantino. So there's about five that I know of. There are these things that Tarantino's doing where he's actually analysing movies. Because you know that you and Quentin Tarantino had the same background. You both worked in video shops and got all and were obsessed with movies. And that's what he did. He was just sitting there watching all this. And so that's why I'm telling you, and I'll say it again, most of his movies are lifted off other movies, particularly Japanese films. And particularly a lot of Korean or even Thai action films from Thailand, Tarantino steals all the best bits of them and puts them into his movies. And they are great, they're all stolen.
Here we go, from what you just said. Here we go. The role of Dirty Harry was first offered to Frank Sinatra, but he declined due to a wrist injury that he had prevented him handling that large gun. Then John Wayne was then offered, and then turned it down because he didn't want to. What does it say? Can I read? See, with my busted eye, I'm having trouble reading. John Wayne turned it down because he didn't want to take part. He didn't want to take part because after Frank Sinatra had been offered the role, John Wayne was. See, he didn't want to play sloppy seconds.
Because you know what happens? Your agent says, John, do you want to do this movie? And he goes, who's knocked it back? And your agent goes, oh, Frank Sinatra. And he goes, all I'm not taking is sloppy seconds. And that's the way it goes, for sure, guaranteed.
All right, here we go. You want to
interestingly that after Clint Eastwood came out with this Dirty Harry film, that this blew fucking out of the water as an action film.
Hold on. Robert Mitchum was also offered it. Yes. And then Steve McQueen, and also Burt Lancaster was.
Yep.
And then ultimately, they all said no. And then Clint said, fuck yeah, I'll do it.
Why not?
I'm sick of doing spaghetti westerns. Let's do something a bit more modern.
Rollo, how old would I have been? About a 10, 11-year-old. Say I was 10 or 11 or 12 years of age in 75, 76. All of a sudden, John Wayne must have been told by his agent, listen, these action detective things, these actually have made these stars even bigger than ever. And he turned up with this movie called McHugh. It's MC with a Q. And he played a tough American detective that doesn't follow the rules, and McHugh. Sure. I went to see those movies. I went to see all of those films back in the 70s because I was like old enough to go to see Diamonds Are Forever in 71, 72. Because they weren't R16s. These were like general release action movies. Even though if you watch Dirty Harry now, you'll see some really adults. You're listening to
Rick and Roll. Back after the break.
No matter what you say, You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Yeah. Rick and Rollo, 37. July the 5th, 2025.
So what happened on July the 4th? Isn't it America's famous day? Did anything happen? I haven't heard.
No. I was watching a Benny Johnson video in, you know, where they have all the, you know, the, what's it called, the fireworks and whatnot on the 4th of July. And in California, Gavin Newsom, as the governor, said, no, there's going to be no fireworks because, you know, we all want everyone to stay social distance and we don't want any. And they had more fireworks. They had, they played the overhead shot from 2021. The height of COVID, whatever it was. It was either 2020 or 2021. And it was the most beautiful sight. And everybody is setting up fireworks from all over LA. It was just beautiful. Look it up. It's beautiful to watch because they're telling people on the, you know, Fox and CNN and that if you let off fireworks, it's a $50,000 fine.
Particularly Americans, you can't do it. They're going to do it.
Oh yeah, 9/11 was like useless that night. So, but my neighbor's setting off fireworks. My neighbor's like, they go, 50,000 calls across LA. 9/11 just did not work, that phone number as emergency. And they're begging on the news, stop calling 9/11 about fireworks. Because people, you know, that are in real trouble are screwed. If you were going to commit a robbery or, a hold up, that would have been the night to do it.
For sure. Anyway, so Rollo, you're going to go off and watch. What movie are you going to watch tonight?
We watched. I tell you, a movie we watched last night. I swear, I'll suggest it every day until next Sunday. A movie called The Beekeeper with Jason Statham.
Is it good?
The Beekeeper. Oh, it is not only good, it's awesome. Now it's not hard to spoil. Now, a beekeeper is a code word for a hitman, a high-level hitman. Yeah, so but it just happens that he works with, you know, bees as an apiarist and he lives with this old lady who gets ripped off on an internet scam, loses all the money, and he goes and kills them all. He kills every idiot.
I love my favorite revenge movies, and as a revenge movie fanatic, Charles Bronson's movie, what's it called? I've talked about it before. The Evil That Men Do. That is the greatest revenge movie. He gets.
Well, we might watch that tonight then.
I'm telling you, this is what. Look, it's a really good action movie. Charles Bronson gets hired to come back as a hitman to do revenge on this. There's a guy torturing people. And it's this particular actor that he kind of reminded me of the guy that played Larry Tate of Bewitched.
But
it's not. It's a different actor. But I'm telling you, this is brutal, brutal scenes of torture. Of journalists in a South American country, and they bring in Bronson.
Can pick him, but those Death Wish movies were brutal.
This is at a different level. The evil that men do. Charles Bronson gets brought back in to get revenge and to kill all these despots that are torturing journalists, and he goes around, and at no stage does it even look like he's going to get killed. He just kills everybody in this movie, and it's fantastic. And I'm watching it and I'm going, I love watching an action movie where I don't need to worry about my hero getting killed because you just know he's not going to get killed. He's going to kill everybody, and he does. Everybody.
Wow.
Like what's his name said, it's fantastic. Evil, the evil that men do. Brutal. Not, it's not for the squeamish. Not for the squeamish, but great action revenge movie. No, I don't think they've ever bettered that. To be honest. Mm. Anyway, Roland.
It reminds me of a I'll send this to Velo set. It reminds me because I was a huge fan of this band. So I'll send this to Velo. So I'll let you see if you know the name of the song. Hey, Velo, can we go out with this one, mate? The one I just sent you?
Yeah, just let me find
and,
it.
And, yeah, it's been a great...
I'll play your ad once more, too, before we go.
I was thinking
when he said evil that men do, that came to my mind, too, Rollo.
There you go. Absolutely. Yep. Full on. It's like, and the reason I love it is that at no stage do you ever get a, are you all at all worried that, oh no, they're going to get you, Charles. They're going to get you. No. He just goes around and just kills from the beginning to the end every single person that's doing nasty things. Look, and it's fantastic.
Right, my wife loves Statham killing everyone. She loves Statham killing everyone.
Jason Statham's just copying off. He's that guy. He's got that athletic, you know, guy. We were talking about it a few weeks ago. He's a ex-gymnast or a high diver.
Yeah, he's a bit older now. But
he's not the best-looking bloke.
You.
He's not the best-looking bloke ever. But he goes in and he does the job that people watch.
I liked him in Lock, Stock and obviously Snatch. They were my two favourites, you know.
Just remember, he became even bigger when Sylvester Stallone decided to do this that series of movies.
The Expendables.
There is no one worth talking about that's not in those movies. I don't think anyone said
when
no.
It comes to 80s action. He was definitely late to the game, wasn't he?
Even Mel Gibson said yes. Do you know who pissed
Stallone off? It was Bruce Willis, who asked for $4 million for a day's work, and he said, "Look, I offered you two. I'm not giving you any more than two for a day's work." And he goes, "No, one for
$2 million."
And he told him to fuck off.
Good on him.
Yeah.
Good on him.
I don't care if you've got, you know, you're on your last legs when it comes to your acting career. What are you doing with your money? Are you doing like, who's the most idiotic person when it comes to their money? It's Nicolas Cage, isn't it?
He bought a dinosaur egg for like $10 million.
I know.
And you know what it was? You know what it would have been? A giant moa egg or from New Zealand or an egg from one of those things in Australia, emu. It'd be an emu egg, petrified emu.
I don't know what he was smoking, but some of the crazy shit he's bought with his money, it's like, it's hilarious, but it's tragic in a way. He could have retired years ago.
I could live the rest of my days in luxury on one of their one stupid decisions of buying some stupid thing. I could have my whole life not having to go to work, not having to
I'd say 99% of people on this planet are in the same boat, mate.
Exactly. Exactly. 99.9% of people. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, mate. So this is the song we're going to go out. I know you know it. Velo's going to play his ad if he has to, but I know you know this tune.
I'm just going to do your ad one more time, then I'll play the song. Let's hear the ad.
All right, mate.
In the market for a cheap tool? Come here, truthmeats.com. We've got plenty of cheap tools. Take Rollo. Comes here every Saturday night, gets a massive windfall, doesn't donate to his favourite platform. What a cheap tool.
Has a nice balcony.
Truthmeats.com, get a cheap tool. Rollo, $0 down.
Fantastic, Joel O.
He's fucking nailed you, Rollo.
I'm going to drive down there on the way back to Sydney. It's a wedding in Sydney. And I'm going to pull in there and say, Rollo.
For you, $333.
He'll He'll want to donate after he sees your gift. But yeah, like I said, Roller, this came to my mind when Rick said the movie title. I thought of this same song too, so we're both on the same page with that.
All right, man. Catch up with you guys next week.
All right, Roller. Bye.
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 Remember to send me a title as well, Rick.
I shall do. Fantastic, Joel. It was a great and a great song. Thank you, Rollo. Great stuff, man. Anyway, it's probably time I disappeared as well. So be told. Bye bye.